hearing on PU 06421. I'm Commissioner Susan Wiefald, and with me are my fellow commissioners, Commissioner Kramer and Commissioner Clark. Commissioner Kramer first, as portfolio holder. Any opening comments on this?
No, just welcome.
All right. And Commissioner Clark?
Good afternoon. Welcome.
And then we have with us two staff members. We have Annette Bendish, an attorney for the commission. And we also have Patrick Vaughn, an engineer for the commission. And then we'll go to TransCanada, and we will ask them to introduce the people who will be participating in the informal hearing today.
Thank you, Commissioner Wiefald. For the record, I'm Todd Crandall with the Kelsch Law Firm.
Push your button. There you go.
Representing TransCanada Keystone here. I also have with me today Mr. Buster Gray. You've met him before. We also have a Terry Hutton, who's seated to my right here. He's the senior project manager based out of Houston.
I am calling for Mr. Tisdale.
Yes. I don't believe he's been just here before. So
this is George Tisdale.
Just one moment, please.
One moment, please.
Just one moment, please, on the phone, and we'll get to you. But thank you for participating. I just want to make sure we have a clear record. And the person who was just introduced by Todd Cranda is Terry Hutton.
And that's T-A-R-R-Y.
T-A-R-R-Y. H-U-T-T-O-N.
Correct, Commissioner.
All right.
And then also, I believe Mr. Fawn has just connected up by teleconference, Mr. George Tisdale. And Mr. Tisdale has been asked to join us to assist Buster Gray with the presentation in the event there are any questions. Mr. Tisdale's position is with the contractor on spread one, project director or project manager?
Project manager.
All right, thank you very much. All right, and the commission has all had a chance to review the information that was submitted earlier this month, July 29th, 2008, and that included a motion and some testimony and some pictures and some graphs indicating changes that are needed. And so if you can please go through those, there's not that many. So if you perhaps maybe one by one, because I think there's about six of them.
Thank you, Commissioner. If the commission wouldn't mind, before we jump into the actual content and substance of the motion, we'd like to give you just a fairly short few-minute overview of where
That'd
we are
fine.
With the project. And
all right.
Mr. Gray has a short presentation.
Good afternoon, Commissioners.
Good afternoon.
As Todd said, and I think this will just take a few minutes, but we thought you might have an interest in where we do stand on the project. I know Commissioner Kramer visited our project here 2 or 3 weeks ago. A couple of things I'd like to, I think the Commission's interested in, is I would like you to know we have acquired all of the land in North Dakota at this point in time. When I say voluntarily, through it, we did have two court actions relative to what we call a default judgment, but that's essentially a landowner that just does not participate in it. But all landowners that engage us, we have concluded deals with at this point in time. For spread one is at the Canadian border working southerly for about 130 miles. It terminates in the northern part of Burns County. If you look at the graph that's here, these are typically just functions. If you remember in previous testimony, I talk about our assembly line, and this represents that assembly line. And clearing grade is out. This is about a week old, actually, in it, but out around milepost 75 to 80 from the Canadian border southerly. I would tell you at this point in time we are a few weeks behind schedule from where we would like to be, and mainly because of rain.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a substantial amount of rain, and, of course, Monday we had a very large rain in North Dakota. But we're still confident that we'll be able to complete the work, hopefully by the Thanksgiving time frame.
It's usually not this green in August.
There's kind of an understanding in our industry. If we go to work somewhere, droughts get broken. So you would see. On spread two, you can see it starts the northern part of Barnes County and exits in Sargent County. and you can see we've actually cleared. The milepost is 217 where we move into South Dakota. So some of our crews have actually progressed into South Dakota. And this particular spread, I guess, again, we've had rain, but not near as much as we've had up in the Grafton area going northerly. I would tell you on spread one, on a weighted average, I would tell you we're about 25% complete. On this spread, I would tell you we're more in the 35 to 40% mm-hmm. complete anyway. A couple of other things that I think you would find of interest is that really, I guess, across the project, our construction contractors and our people that have been extremely well received by the communities that we're housing in Grafton and in Valley City at present. County officials and local officials we've worked extremely well with at this stage of the project, and we've been very pleased with the support that we've received locally. And I'll probably jinx myself to it, but ultimately serious complaints make their way to me. And at this point in time, we've not had any what I consider serious complaints from landowners or public officials at this point in time. Now, tomorrow could be a different story. Story that I'd see. So we're quite pleased with that at this point in time. I had opportunity to fly spread two last week, and I hope these photographs. I was taking them out of a plane window, and you can see them. But clearing this, the left hand corner is just mowing of corn and crops. One of our first operations. This is just a cleared right of way that's been graded. This is a wetland that has construction mats placed across it. You can't quite see the shelter belt, but the reduced width that we've talked about in these hearings, you can see it back in the background that's here. This is our pipe yard at Englevale, and we've almost hauled all of the pipe out of it. The train tracks run here, and that's pipe that's on the rail system. But it's almost empty and all the pipe taken out of it.
And laid along, I see.
Yes. We call the operation on this stringing of the pipe, it's the hauling of the pipe to the right-of-way where it's laid for welding. And in this particular photograph's just the machine. Now that I realize the screen, I wish I'd have put these bigger in the pictures than I did. And then this is just, I wanted to depict another shelter belt and wetland area where workspace is reduced. Just our welding operation, these shacks that you see represented, that's them off in the background that's here, and then a little bit closer. But each of these shacks, it takes four passes of the welding to complete a weld, and each one of them makes the first shack makes two passes, and the remainder fill and cap it.
Before the state looks absolutely gorgeous in these.
It does look beautiful, doesn't it?
Doesn't it?
It is green. Our trenching operation of just digging our trench in it, and an inspector checking the particular depth of the trench.
As you dig the trench, this is a question that'll relate to the next. Can we go back to that picture?
I certainly can.
Okay, and so the material generally is piled right next to it?
It generally is, right. for our regular construction right away, but of course if it's a stream, it won't be. It'll have to be pulled back.
But generally it is. Okay.
That is correct. You know, I didn't think about putting a picture in depicting that you could see it so well. You can barely see the topsoil pile that's stacked to that side. It just doesn't stick out that well in the picture that you can see it. But the topsoil is pushed to the edges of the right-of-way. Oops, I'm going the wrong way. I'm sorry. And that's just, you know, after we make a weld, we have to coat that 8 inches of pipe that came to the right-of-way bare, and that's the crew that's coding yet. Well, am I going the wrong way? Have I got the same slide in there twice? In wetland areas and things, we put on concrete weights to give negative buoyancy to keep the pipe from floating, and that just happened to be a crew we were coming by. Our backfilling operation is just the covering of the pipe once it's placed in the trench. Tie-ins, as I've described, we make almost all the welds we can above the surface of the earth because it's much more economical. But these long sections, it roads after we bore a road, we have to tie it in as such. But that's the tie-in crew working at that particular road. And then you can barely see it. There's a pipe section with two pieces of equipment and a wetland where that'll be dug and that piece of pipe put in to tie in. The Cheyenne River, this is the river in this treed area that's at the bottom of the picture. And if you remember from our prior testimony, we'll HDD the river. And this right away here is to allow those to well up those pipe strings to be pulled underneath the river. The pipeline itself will go this way. And then if you happen to remember how we kind of wound our way up the hill, well, the right-of-way is already there. It's cleared already in this picture, and I think it does give a good indication that the visual impacts that we were trying to minimize are going to be successful, that we will not have a large visual impact to this embankment. The right-of-way actually continues on right up here.
Okay, and what's the white area that we see at the back of the picture? Not there. The very
just an agricultural field.
All right.
And I think it's just my camera that makes it look so white.
And so the I see what looks like pipeline, but that probably isn't. That must be a road there. I'm just going to point it out.
No? All right, please. Oh, here. Oh, that's the scenic byway.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Looking at it from the opposite. All right, I'm thinking that we were on the east side of the river.
Very well. You're actually on the south looking north. Yes, ma'am.
All right.
And then this is, of course, the pipeline leaving the south side. But this shows you a little more in it. This is that right-of-way going up the north side that's behind the hill in these trees where you can't see it in the other picture. And then this is the south embankment from the river coming up and going out where we now avoid all these trees.
Mm-hmm.
As well. This is, all of a sudden drawing a blank, this is the pump station south of the Cheyenne River, and the name of it is escaping me. But just for your information, the pump station contractor is a company called TIC out of Wyoming, and they have just mobilized over the past 2 or 3 weeks and started work. But I can't think of the name of that pump station all of a sudden.
How are you doing in the area where the wind farm is also going up?
At Valley City in Barnes County, Florida Power and Light, we are coordinating with their construction management people, and they're actually building their access roads right now. And we modified our design to put our pipe deeper at those locations that their roads will cross us, but we work with their engineers and surveyors to coordinate that. Their power cables or transmission cables, I'm not which that they are, they will also come along those roads, so we facilitated those at this time. M-Power, I forget, Steele County? Nelson County.
They have not started their project.
They've not started, but we're in communication with them also,
okay,
but
good.
They've not been able to give us any preliminary designs specific enough for us to...
Us either.
Okay.
They are, Jerry's not here, but they're in, we're waiting for that information.
Very well.
And I think we have a hearing scheduled, is it the end of August?
End of the month. Yeah.
Very well.
We should be seeing that pretty soon.
But we are in communication because it's easier for us to deal with those interfaces
right
now than once we're in operation as well.
But that'll be toward the end of the...
That's correct. There would still be time for us to deal with it over the next month or two. And this is just where we kicked off in spread two cleanup. This would be just in the northern part of Barnes County working southerly. This is finished as such. And again, it depicts the narrow right-of-way that we put through the shelter belt areas that are here. But at this point in time, when I was up there last week, the cleanup really looked very well. in it.
Pretty easy spot, too.
That's maybe that's why I picked this picture.
And then when do the markers go in? Is that not until the pipeline is activated?
They're actually in now in it and for this particular section, but they go in as the cleanup crews clean up.
Okay, so they were put in right after that.
That is correct. And because certainly for us, we want to make people aware and things for damage prevention. And my understanding, we're now active in your one-call system, and we've set up a process where if an Empire wants to cross our pipeline, that they contact us and we'll locate it and things for them. So that's in place. But that I think that kind of summarizes, at least gives you a picture of where we're at this point in time. We have a substantial amount of work still to complete, and actually I'm going to be up at Grafton tomorrow, and I'll have a similar set of photographs for that particular spread after tomorrow in it. And at any time, if the commissioner has an interest, I'd be more than happy to provide.
You know, I think about every 6 weeks it would be good.
Very well.
For the commission to have an update like this, just so we can see how the ground looks from the air for whatever.
And I think we would certainly be more than welcome. My legal counsel here will have to remind me, though. I'm going to ask him to do that.
Fine. But about end of September, might be a good time.
Certainly, Commissioner. We're working on trying to get a public tour, or not a public, but state official individuals that we're going to that are interested, I guess, including yourselves, if you'd like to, unless you want to separate. I know that one of the commissioners have already gone, but. We intend to bring the Industrial Commission, if possible, senators and representatives along the route where their districts are, and I think a few other individuals that we've identified as very interested in this project. We haven't defined that yet. We're still trying to find a good date to try to organize that, and I certainly can share with the commission here when we're planning on doing that, depending upon the number of people, we may do it twice.
Questions that those folks would have for us as well.
Certainly.
And then I know I'm interested besides that, and perhaps Commissioner Clark is too, so we would be in touch with you. All right?
That would be great, Commissioner.
Thank you.
And Todd, I think the dates I've seen thrown around somewhere around the 15th of September, give or take. That's what I've heard anyway.
If it's okay, Commissioners, what we'd like to do then is now conclude the overview, unless Commissioner, did you have a
question? Sure. I just had wanted to relay a conversation that I had, and I wouldn't term it as a complaint by any stretch of the means at all, but really just kind of more an observation that one landowner had. He didn't have any complaints in particular. He just said he wanted to make sure the Keystone understands that, there may be both the commission the commission's order and all the things that have to be adhered to with regard to that, but also some of these individual easements have, certain things that are built into them. He said now in his case he just happened to be on site when they were going through, so he was able to walk through with them, but he said, I just want to make sure for all those other landowners who are out there that, maybe it's a absentee landowner or something like that, they may not have an ability to be there when they're actually going through, and just wanted to make sure that was being adhered to, too. And I said, I'd pass it along in my conversations with Keystone. So.
And Commissioner, certainly there are a lot of landowners that don't live on the land and things. But, through our construction practices and things, it's consistency is what we work towards. You're not always able to do that. But we try very hard to be consistent regardless of whether our landowner lives on the land or not. And it is worth mentioning the inspectors from Cadmus, Lee and Jackson are on site, and we are coordinated with them, and we do interface with them to their inspections and if they have any concerns that are brought forward to us. So I do think that interim measure the commission put in place does afford those landowners some eyes that maybe they wouldn't have otherwise.
But those are mainly for, to my understanding, for the commission order.
That is correct.
Right.
It?
And I think for the most part, the easements are fairly standard similar. There's only a handful of special provisions have been negotiated individually by certain landowners. And so for the most part, the crews are following the same protocol of how to construct and operate and place it in accordance with the standard easements, subject to just a handful of special arrangements or provisions which are noted and then identified for that parcel. And I guess I've been involved in a few of those, and I know that we're trying to watch and monitor that and make sure that that is in compliance. So, but we appreciate the information. If it's okay, Commission, what I'd like to do is keep Buster going here, but I'd refer you to his testimony. In fact, the primary area of it would be on page 3, where he starts out his chart with the North Dakota Forested Crossing Table. And I guess what I'd like to do is have Buster maybe go through that, and then we could even look at whatever diagrams the Commission wants to look at to see exactly what we're talking about. And then from there, I know there are a couple of inquiries that staff had that they wanted us to specifically address for you, and Buster would be prepared to do that. And then if necessary, Mr. Tisdale, who's on the line holding and listening carefully, could be called upon, if appropriate, since he's the eyes and ears on the ground.
And where I think I would like to start is that we filed an affidavit previously, I think, that had 22 locations that we had submitted requests for additional workspace near, most of them were near streams and forested areas. And we worked through that with the commission to some approvals. And this six or seven, I think, with the road crossing, are a subset of those 22.
Yes.
And upon the start of construction and the work from our prior meetings, I tried to express that from a design perspective, you're looking at aerial photographs and engineering information and things, but you're not seeing the ground after it's been cleared and the ground conditions that you're going to encounter. And that during those particular hearings, I believe I'd expressed a concern that when we actually got into construction, that we may run into situations that would warrant us to come back to the commission and ask on an individual basis. So, in summary, that's where we are today. I had Mr. Tisdale, who's the project manager for Hinkles and McCoy, the construction contractor, go to each of these locations and assess them relative to the terrain, the ground conditions, and the water tables and things where he thinks they'll be when we go to excavate these crossings. And actually, the depictions that you see on these drawings were made by Mr. Tisdale and presented to us. The in general, I think what we tried to do was only ask for the ones we literally feel like we have to have it. The remaining 15, we believe we can manage with what I requested in the prior proposal. The probably the things that are driving us, and I actually have them on my computer again, is that from an environmental perspective, in our type of work, the key item that we can do is install these quickly. That is to excavate them, put the pipe in, and get out as quickly as we can. And actually, under federal guidelines for natural gas projects, there are guidelines that say 24 hours. You've got to get in, dig this, put the pipe in, cover it up, and restore it, and get out in 24 hours, because that's the best environmental practice to do. And to facilitate that, not having to transfer material further away from the excavation is one of the practices. The other issue that we've run into, and I can't say that this would be true of all of these crossings that are here, but particularly like the first one that you can see that has...
You're going to need to go by numbers because, of course...
Very well.
And I mixed them up.
Thank you, Commissioner. Let me refer you to drawing 057. It's the last three digits.
057. Just one minute.
And you can see in that particular photograph or plan view the stream with sandbars on each side. And this would be an example of where we are anticipating that the trench excavation will be substantially large. And when I say substantially large, it could be 30 or 40 or 50 feet wide, just the trench itself. We're trying to get the pipe into it. So when we start talking about trenches of that type of width, just our equipment working adjacent and concerns of trenches collapsing and equipment and pipe going into them becomes a concern also. But I think with those, and George, I assume you're still on the line.
Yes.
If I could try and walk through each one, and George, I'll probably stop at the end of each one since you've stood at them and see if there's anything you would like to add as we go along.
I have just a question that relates to all of them and how the drawings are represented. Is the, for example, on 057, is the orange area the area now that is being requested that's in addition to the area that the commission has already said is acceptable?
That is correct, to
so
my knowledge.
We've already, everything that the commission, the 22 drawings, for example, that came in is represented in blue or black.
That's
cross-hatching,
correct.
And the new area only is represented in orange.
That's correct.
And then on the orange drawings, the area that's labeled spoil in a circle, is it the intention really to put spoil over the whole area, not just in that one area that's marked spoil?
I believe in my CAD people's making of the drawing, this symbol for showing spoil, they just stuck it there. They didn't use it. But, George, your intention would be to use the entire area, would it not be?
Yes. Yes.
So it's just a graphic that was plopped in, but to be more representative, it should show the white being over more of the area of the crosshatch.
And what you found out is that the area that was presently approved by the Commission for Spoil on 057 is not adequate to store the spoil.
It is not adequate to store it. You would have to bring it all the way back out to the agricultural field to the right-hand side of the drawing, or likewise to the left-hand side, which just means that we would be excavating and installing the pipeline for several days instead of a short period of time.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. George, on this particular, I'm looking at drawing 057.
Yes.
And one of the things we wanted to point out on this particular drawing is, if you're looking at the plan view of the aerial, this particular area is not heavily treed. If you'll look, the trees are very distinct in the photograph, and actually on the southerly bank or the right-hand side, there's only two or three small trees in that particular quadrant of that crosshatch. On the northerly bank or the left-hand side, the estimate would be 8 to 10 trees in that particular area of the orange crosshatched area. Actually, and part of this is because of the photography or shadows of the trees that you're seeing and not necessarily the trees. So in this one, I would like to Pat's question about even in when we mark off an area of this type, our ability to minimize even the loss of trees that are within these areas. And, George, I meant to speak to you prior to being here, but generally if the trees are along the perimeter of the area.
That's this picture, isn't it? These two pictures, this is North Branch of the Park River, and that's what we're looking at, North Branch of the Park River. So this MP29-5.
That is correct.
MP29-5, North Branch of the Park River, view looking south.
That is correct, these two photographs.
On the one side, where would the pine trees be that are located then on this particular?
Looking south. Those are going to be the pine trees that are the dark line, like a shelter belt on the right.
So would that be over here on the right or on the left?
On the right. Because you're looking south.
Uh-huh. That would be this whole row?
That's correct.
Pointing to the right side of the graph?
Which are actually back farther back from the workspace we're asking for.
Okay. And then the other is looking north, and so that represents, and is this the actual crossing of the river?
That's correct. That would be our travel lane and our construction right away.
Okay, and so at the present time, no excavation has happened.
That's correct.
There's one, and that spoil that's presently stored there right next to the river, it really doesn't look like it's 25 feet away, but maybe it is. Anyway, that is located where? Is that in the picture here on the, in the graph on the left-hand side in the area that's presently marked as spoil?
Commissioner, I'm trying to orient myself here a second to looking south. I'm going to suggest to you that is, oh, your picture's better than mine. That would help some, Pat. This area there. See, I'm going to tell you all the spoil that you see in the top photograph.
Yes.
Is within the 85 feet construction right away that we have at this point in time.
All right, so that is represented here in the long lines, not the, okay.
That's correct.
All right.
And I'm trying to look at the bottom photograph, and Coach George, please help me to hear. I mean, we only staked 85 feet, and that's all we have used to date, is it not?
But you have already got permission from the
I'm sorry. I would, Commissioner, you're correct. I would assume that we are using the space that's shown in the black cross hatching on the north side.
But I'm not sure that's true because it's. I can see where the pipeline is. I mean, it would go right down the middle of that board, wouldn't it?
It would go right down through the middle of the drawing. But the spoil that you see in the photograph to the left would be in the cross hatched, not the cross hatched, the diagonally hatched space that is shown on the print, on the engineering drawing.
Okay.
But I was asking for George's assurance, but at this point in time, we've not staked any area larger than the black that you see on this drawing.
Okay.
No, there is no area. The fact of the matter is, I really believe that the areas on the, what would be on the west side, are not staked at this time either.
George, are there any other particular comments about this particular crossing? I mean, the one assessment I'd had that was because of the sandy appearance, it will be a large excavation.
Yes, it will be a very large excavation, and even with the storage that you're depicting there, it's going to be probably short. You know, we just asked for everything that we thought would not infringe on significant wooded areas.
Commissioners, if I move to the next drawing, please. Oh, thank you. Give it back. And George, on that one, because I think this was a good example, I was saying that if trees are along the perimeter of the area we've asked for, there's the potential we could try and save trees along the perimeter. When they're actually sitting right in the middle and having to work around them, it makes it extremely difficult. But George, I think we could commit to the commission that when we go out and stake these off, if there's some near the perimeter that we think we could save, that we could make that effort to do so.
Yes, we would.
Yep.
I mean, I'm thinking that if you're dumping spoil and the tree can live through the dump of spoil for 12 hours or whatever, 24 hours, you should leave the tree in place and dump the spoil around it and clear it out again.
That's correct. That I would say in the perimeter areas, in the middle, it's a logistical problem.
The next map I think we're looking at is 058 for milepost 31.8. So 058.
31.8 is the milepost.
All right. And so it's map number 058.
That. Mm-hmm.
And at this particular crossing, it doesn't show on the engineering drawing, but there's actually a beaver dam that's just would be off the top of the drawing that has ponded this particular stream. and when I say ponded it, and it's now 35 or 40 feet wide of standing water. It's a pond and not necessarily a stream. We did discuss with the landowner about allowing us to remove the beaver dam and drain it back to, probably it would be dry if it was not dammed. But the landowner would prefer that not be done, and we've honored that. This crossing, if not ponded up, would not be near as significant as it actually is now. But at this width, it's a substantive stream crossing. And, George, my guess is there may be some 6 or 8 feet of water at this particular location.
Have you gone back to the landowner and explained to him that if he released the beaver dam at this time, that there may not need to be that significant of tree removal on the
That bank? Is correct. And his preference was that the beaver dam stay. He would prefer to have it.
Even though, okay.
Hmm. No, that is correct, but we did ask that, Commissioner. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, in our preliminary design phases, if you remember early on, we buy workspace on all four quadrants of all streams just in our standard practice. Therefore, this type of workspace at most all of these crossings has already been acquired from the landowner in it, although we are now going back to each one of them with these drawings and because of the order and discussing with them. So I think it might be worth saying is we were kind of in a chicken and egg situation here that we need your approval, but yet we want to ensure we get the landowner's approval again as well, and we are doing that simultaneous. But if a landowner refused, we would construct within the space that we've been allotted.
All right, and then on this one, is it this top picture would be as if I'm looking north then from this unnamed stream?
Yes, if you were standing south of the stream looking northerly, and then the other standing north of the stream looking southerly.
Okay.
And certainly here there's more density of trees, as you can see in the photographs in it, but that's present. George, are there any other specifics about this you'd like to comment upon?
No.
Why in this particular situation, is it because there's a ravine or something that we can't tell at the top of the page where you jog in? On the top right, in your crosshatched
feet,
area.
That 25 feet that's not crosshatched.
George, do you remember why you recessed the area on the...
That's because it's a substantial hill there.
Okay, so you'd have to grade it down.
I'd have to grade it down in order to use that.
I understand.
And that's really forested with some big trees on that hill also.
All right, thank you. Any other questions on that one for now? All right, then let's go to the next one. This one, there's lots and lots of additional space needed here.
You're on map 051, milepost 35.3.
Okay. I'm not on that one yet. Okay, thank you.
051.
051. Mm-hmm.
And that deals with milepost 35.3. Mm-hmm.
Okay, 35.3. And the picture represents looking, if I turn my paper sideways with them.
You would be standing southerly of the stream looking northerly. To the left of the drawing, or top, as you have it, to the top, Commissioner. Mm-hmm. And George, you might would help me here, but indeed, the additional workspace on the right-hand side of the drawing, you made a determination that you would pull it back outside of the treed area, and there had to be a reason that you decided that.
It's because that's a substantial hill. That hill is...
The grade.
It's from like 55 feet up to 1,300. You know, that hill's 45 feet tall in less than 100 feet.
Understood. So you're like you're working off the edge of a bluff almost, even though it's in a bluff.
You could put the soil there, but it all end up back in the creek.
That's right. One of the things in these depictions is the scale and the profile view isn't one-to-one, and it distorts the appearance of the steepness of the hill.
But you do have the 12% grade and 25% grade indicated, so we know that those are pretty steep. Well. I mean, my God, that is very steep.
I have to say, one of the things I observed when I went to a couple of, one unnamed creek area, I guess, and I think the Tongue River as well, there are some pretty steep inclines down into those, even the these little dry creeks. It surprised me, frankly. It was much steeper than I anticipated.
So you pulled it back, George, because you'd have to grade so much area to make it where your equipment could work on it.
Well, it's not so much the equipment to work on it. I mean, I just couldn't hardly store the spoil there. You know, if it's damp or non-cohesive, I mean, it's just going to run back down the hill.
Understood.
You know? All right, thank you.
Yep, very well. Thanks, George.
Okay. And then the next one is what number?
Yeah, the next number would be 055. We're dealing with milepost 42.7.
Okay, so I have the same question on that one then. He just indicated to us that the slope would be too steep to properly store spoil, and so we have the same grade represented here just about. So why wouldn't that be moved back completely onto the soil on the right-hand side?
Well, that's, and again, it's not really not really reflective of what the actual terrain really looks like. You know, it does appear to be quite a bit steeper there, but I'm only going to try to store the spoil that's going to be dug out of the ditch as I dig the ditch. As you can see, I have a substantial area up here on top where I'm going to try to store the rest of the soil. But whenever you have a steep incline like this, I still have to grade it tremendously back in order to enable me to dig the sag point or the bottommost point.
Right.
I have to right away back to give myself a grade where I can achieve the depth of the ditch there.
Well, this one, of all of them, the cleared areas are closest to the stream. And so I'm just curious here as to why this can't be moved back onto the fields.
I think, if I can, why, given that it's a similar grade, why aren't you as concerned about the spoil dropping into the stream as you were in the previous one?
I think the misleading part of this is that on your profile line down below the drawing, that is the center line of the pipe. Now, the topography most likely changes as you get farther to the, I guess, to the east and to the west.
I'm just looking at the picture, though. It doesn't look very substantial.
And, George, there's one photo. Buster's looking for it, too, and the commissioners are looking at it. That shows 42.7 in the terrain, and it doesn't look like there's actually a lot of trees other than maybe a few shrubs around there.
That's true.
So it's a different type of area.
Right. This is just to the south of Highway 17, if I'm not mistaken, right? This is a beaver pond.
There's a pond there. That's
this
obvious.
Is a beaver pond just on the south side of Highway 17. And what it is, in order for me, that area that you see is that we're depicting as spoil, that's actually kind of going to be cut down so that you know, my machines can work in there, and the ditch wouldn't be straight up and down. You know, I mean, we try to grade our right-of-way grade to a minimum of one-to-one slope back away from where the center of the ditch is. And as you can see, the ditch at that point is going to be basically 15 feet deep. So I need a place for my machine, and then if it's 15 foot deep, I need a minimum of 30 feet beyond the machine. So that whole area is going to be cut as a side cut. And that spoil has to be removed and put back up here on top. That's actually going to be cut out and moved back. It's not going to be for storage. It has to be cut and moved back. Does that make sense?
You're going to be building a bench. That is that what you're telling me?
Yes, not necessarily a bench. It'd be a slope like you would for a highway grade or something, because I have to have a...
Well, it indicates that you're going to be using it for spoil.
Well, that's...
So I'm saying, why, if it's going to be spoil and you
just... It's not going to be spoil.
Well, it says it on your chart.
It's going to be moved out. That should be marked out. It's not going to be for spoil.
On both sides of the river?
On the other side of the river, you're going to have somewhat of a cut, but that's flat. You can use that for soil spoils. The other side, you're going to have to grade it back so that you have a sufficient area to work, and then it's not going to be trying to break off and fall down in there.
When you indicated these, when you went out and did your field search, it looks like there's some places along the river where there's less trees and other places where there's more. So you have already picked an area now for that's close, the ones that are closest to the river. You've analyzed why it shouldn't be on the other side, for example. It doesn't look to appear there's any trees down to the south on the lower part of that map. You see what I'm looking at?
Yes, I see, Commissioner.
On the east side here, there's a big clearing. All right, if you need this for just your equipment, why couldn't you put it down there where there's absolutely no trees or shrubs?
George, the question is
talking about on the steep part of the hill?
I don't know. We can't tell. You told us what's the steepest part of the hill because it does show a 22% grade, and
right,
I agree.
We wouldn't be trying to use that for spool storage.
George, on the diagram 055, the commissioner is looking at the lower right-hand quadrant. There's a marking of 1300 just sort of in that area, but it looks on the diagram very little vegetation, and I'm wondering if you know why that area might not be suitable. Is it a large incline, or do you recall from the site?
Okay. That's it's pretty steep right there. That's a pretty good hill. And no, there's not much vegetation there. But where I need my space is over on by the ditch side where my machine is going to be digging. Because it has to be, you know, I'm not going to be able just to dig straight down 20 feet deep. I have to right away that area down in order for me to achieve those depths. And that's the reason that part of the right-of-way is taken, because of the amount of slope that is
needed. You can't reach that deep.
So okay. You have to slope it down as like just like it would be like for a highway or something. You know, your bank slopes back at a one-to-one slope so that, you know, there's not a chance of a cliff falling down on your people or your equipment or filling your ditch in. That make sense?
Yep. I think that helps explain it, George.
Right.
Is there any way that you don't need the temporary workspace we had already given you on the left-hand side? Because you're adding so much onto the fields.
Commissioner's asking, George, on the left-hand side of the stream, the additional temporary workspace that's 108 feet in dimension, could you live without that?
Well,
that's not where your equipment's going to be stored. You've told us that's on the other side there.
I said that's where we're digging our ditch. Yeah. I didn't say anything about equipment stored. But, you know, there's a tremendous amount of spoil have to be moved out of here, 3,369 cubic yards by the admission of the drawing. I mean, spoil swells at least 1.25%, which gives you another, approximately 700 to 800 additional yards. That's 4,500 yards of material. If you can visualize a ditch, what would that be, 40 feet wide and and or just hard to pile 40 feet wide and 200 feet long is about what it's going to take to store that material.
It's just hard to imagine that went for that little tiny creek.
That's
that
true.
You're going to be going 4 feet deep or 6 feet deep, that all that material comes out of one cut, and 4 feet wide or something, and 6 feet deep.
It'll be much deeper than that.
And, right. And actually, if you look at the profile view, we have a 5 feet deep depth of cover that's beneath the stream, but as a minimum, we carry it 15 feet back into the stream banks because of scour and migration concerns. And actually, if you look on the right-hand side of the stream, the blue line versus the red is I mean, that's at that point, if you just scaled it off this drawing, that's 10 feet of excavation just to the top of the pipe in it at that point. But actually the parallel section that goes beneath the stream is more than 100 feet long before we start coming up.
It's just too bad that the Fish and Wildlife just didn't tell you guys you had to drill all of these, is my position on this. Anyway.
Commissioner, my only comment would be...
Stick to their guns on this.
The problem with it is HDDing is extremely expensive, and ultimately the consumer pays for them all. Ultimately they do, and that's where we have to balance.
The next map we can move on, commissioners, if you'd like, is 056. We're looking at milepost 46.4. So 056 is the drawing. And there is a photograph also for your reference of that.
And that's the 54.8?
That's correct. Nope, the one before that, commissioner, I think it's on the bottom.
Okay.
It's 46.5. North Branch Forest River view looking north.
And George, as I recollect from the marking of this one on the east side or south side of the river, that the additional workspace you've asked for, you have tried to place it such that it minimizes the loss of trees. It's in a flat area,
yes.
but and as you can see around the perimeter, and I do believe this one has more potential to be able to save trees around the perimeter. To where it is, but indeed you tried to place it to optimize the use of the cleared area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Over here, there's only about seven trees up here that would be affected, I believe, and it's still giving us a substantial area to, you know, to store spoils, but we're still going to have to carry it back each way. There just wasn't a very good place to get, because the terrain actually falls off and then comes back up. There just wasn't a nice, you know, an area that I felt would be adequate to store it. So I just asked for space outside.
Mm-hmm. Any questions there? Okay. The next one then we're looking at, commissioners, would be 058 is the drawing, and it deals with 54.8 milepost. And there is a photo.
George, as I remember on your conversation on this one, was that indeed because of the slope and the density of trees to the south, that you tried to take additional workspace adjacent to workspace that had already been approved to be able to just get more room to store spoil, but putting it in an area that you're not as concerned about the slope, and also it was an area that just didn't take as many trees out.
Yes, and it's real possible that one of these areas over on the south side, we might not even try to use that one. At this particular one, I think we're just going to have to, you know, haul the spoils out regardless. There is a pretty substantial area on the north side that we can protect, but other than that, I think those spoils are going to have to be removed and taken out. And as you can see, that is a substantial amount of material there.
Yeah, because that's not a levee. That's just a natural berm or something there.
Yeah.
Because that's almost, I'd say, 15 feet of material that has to come out.
Yes, the bridge across the stream looks like it's like 15 feet, but when you look at the picture, it looks much wider, the river, middle branch of the Forest River, when you look at the diagram.
Ms. Weefall, sometimes the pictures are deceptive, but George, I'd say there's at least 10 mats that are there, or is that mats you've got across it?
Yes.
In it, so 10 mats would be 40 feet wide. If it was 10 mats, they're 4 feet wide apiece. And it's so that'd be somewhat consistent with what you're seeing on the drawing.
So basically, when I look at this picture, it's like I'm looking at this at the left-hand side of the.
Let's see. You're standing on the.
North is this way.
Yep, north is on the left-hand side here of this.
So you're standing on the south, looking so north.
It's just hard for me to know what's over there because that clearing area that you're talking about is not represented on the picture. It looks like it's thick with trees there totally.
You know, to be frank with you, it looks like the picture's the opposite direction to me.
Well, that's what I don't know.
George, I don't know if you're looking at the photograph as well, but it would appear to me that the Timber Pro piece of equipment's working up the south bank, not the north bank.
I would say that it probably is. I don't have the picture.
Oh, you don't have the photograph? I'm sorry. And it's actually an environmental inspector took the photographs, right. But that would
be. Yeah, I do have some photographs here. Excuse me.
It's one that's labeled milepole 54.8. But that Timber Pro, it's probably 20 to 30 feet long, isn't it?
Yes, the fact of the matter is, I would say that it's probably about 50 feet long.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's not small.
No. Because, it can haul a 40-foot section.
A pile.
Yeah, and that picture is looking to the south, not to
That's north. Correct. It's not looking to the north.
Right.
So all those trees will be removed on either side there anyway because we've already given permission for that.
The immediately adjacent ones, that would be correct.
And that's it, isn't it?
Well, that's one more.
And this is we typically for road bores again because of the excavations we make to get underneath the road, we put workspace on four quadrants and spread two had come back to me with these particular excavations and this is particularly sandy soil in this particular area and even to a concern that when we excavate we might need to sheet pile the area. We just don't know in it. But the request is in the anticipation that we have an unstable hole here. If we excavate at the time and it's not unstable, my understanding from my folks are is that we will not pre-clear this. When we start excavating, if we have a problem, we will take the trees out at that point in time.
Okay. And then... So you cross the north branch of the park. Oh, one is the Forest River and the other is the park. Okay, thank you. I'm just...
Oh, George. George won't know.
Okay, and then basically...
I'm sorry, excuse me.
Go ahead, finish talking
with
Pat.
No, I was just trying to explain to Pat why I think it was placed to the south... I don't know, west quarter. and it versus the northeast. And I assume we're going to weld up our pipe section on the east piece anyway, is all that I can think in it.
All right, and then what your commitment to us is, if the commission approves these, is that you're going to try to save every tree possible in those areas of the big mature ones and that aren't right in the middle of those oil piles.
Commissioner, I'm correct, and George, I'm asking that you would confirm that if I say it's correct, that's what you're going to do.
Yes.
Very well.
An additional condition that we've voluntarily suggested is a 5-to-1 replacement for any that we do remove extra.
These are huge trees that are coming out of here, 100-year-old, probably 200-year-old in some of these places. Okay. And then, yep.
My impression is that you're committing to replace the 5-to-1 in the areas where you're removing the trees.
Is, Pat, I mean, that's a good question in that we're soon to start the process under the tree and shrub specification where we go to the landowners and ask whether they want them replaced on their property. I would suggest to you I could put into place that we would highly recommend that they replace them at these locations, but I assume it would be the landowner's choice.
And that's what you required in your prior order,
right,
is that we
right.
give the landowner
I
the option.
That.
But I could certainly instruct at these locations that we
priority.
We try and prioritize to the landowners on it, and I'd be happy to do
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. That would be good. Okay, anything else?
Pat, you got all your questions answered. Your
yes.
mouth. Are there any others that you need answered?
I have a question for the commission.
Sure.
Something to think about.
You're the applicant.
Do you want an order on this issue, or do you want staff to be an okay with the commission?
Kevin, you're the portfolio holder.
Which?
I think a commission order is appropriate.
Okay. All right. And then... we'll move forward accordingly.
Do we have a, if I may ask, commissioners, do we have a time schedule that we're looking at, or Buster, I know that you wanted this sooner rather than later. We're on site at different locations with George and his crews. Do you have a time schedule that you're looking at for
if
a possibility?
If we didn't do a commission order and had the staff, they could give it.
Good.
So.
And
you know what? Why don't I...
or else we could schedule a special meeting.
Today is Wednesday?
Yeah. We could schedule.
I'm okay with the staff approval so long as it's just documented and put in the record as such. So that, because we have been by order, you know,
doing the rest.
We did the other 22 by order,
yeah.
And we'll just somehow would need to make sure that it's recognized as such in the casework.
Otherwise, are we all here Friday morning?
The other option would be for the commission to issue an order and just acknowledge it on the next agenda.
And that could be done as well. Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea. Thank you.
So we could maybe have that done by staff.
And then acknowledge the staff approvals.
I think we can just do an order and just acknowledge it. I mean, if you want it on a meeting agenda, then it could just be acknowledged and discussed on the next meeting, which would be the 27th.
And that would be fine. And we could
the order could be signed and... put
that's
in the docket.
Are we all here on Monday?
Changes. I mean, I'm here Friday, if that's what matters.
I'm here Friday.
I am too.
I just wanted to bring it up and as soon as you could.
I'll tell you my hesitant. I'm hesitating because, you know, I've sensed, you know, maybe I have a little bit of lack of confidence in the whole thing, and I might just want to discuss it a little more, think about it overnight. That's not the whole thing in general, but maybe some specific
pieces.
So rather than just, you know, I don't want to just kind of have this informal and then say, sure, go ahead, staff, do it. I might want to think about a couple of these things a little bit. That's my only hesitancy. I'm not. I just. That's it.
How much time do you need?
Oh, I mean, like this week. All
right.
And maybe it's a deal where I say, okay, I'm comfortable staff doing it.
Well, the only one where the first one where you said it could take 2 days instead of 1 day, if instead of moving it out, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, to me, so what if it takes 2 days?
Well, that's things like that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, really.
Are we to accommodate?
Right. So that would be one question, because you said, well, it's a matter of least impact on the environment in 1 day, but if it involves clearing out a whole area instead of moving it back onto cleared lands, I mean, those are...
And Commissioner, I don't know, and maybe if I'm the person who said, but I'm talking about multiple days and not one potentially in it, not just 2 days in it. Some of these, where you start moving the material, you talk about working for several days in it, and I do believe that you do more harm to the stream by the longer duration we're in it. Also, I've mentioned the safety aspects that we're concerned about. So it's not just the time in it. I just want to reemphasize in it.
Well, I'll think about it for a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm. Speaking on that same time frame schedule, is there anything to help the commission understand the urgency?
I was going to ask George. I know, you know, with the rain we've had over the past 10 days and 2 weeks, but... You know, if the commission gave us an order within the next week, is it going to affect us?
Not on the streams that we have in that we're talking about right now, because it would be.
Because the first one's like milepole 25 or something, isn't it? Something.
Right. I do have a crew. Yeah. We'll be there within a week, but you know. That's not the only crew that'll be there. I can actually go by that one. So.
Understood.
Okay. All right.
Thank you very
we'll
much.
Wait to you let us know if you want a special meeting or when we.
I'll let you know.
All right. Or how you want to handle this. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We appreciate this time.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Very helpful.
George, thank you very much.